Does a population have informed consent when that population is not taught the inner workings of its monetary system, and then is drawn all unknowing into economic adventures? From the Trial of Trials. For almost an hour after the morning meal, Erich observed Selang as she worked with the McKee simulator. She was pushing herself hard, believing Reeve honor at stake, and it almost reached the pitch Erich desired. Selang had set up her own simulator situation, McKee interviewing five of Broey's Gowichan. She had the Gowichan come to McKee in surrender, hands extended, the webbed fingers exposed to show that the talons were withdrawn. Simulator McKee merely probed for military advantages. Why does Broey attack in this fashion? Or he'd turn to some places outside the H-focus of the simulator. Send reinforcements into that area. Nothing about the rim. Earlier, Selang had tried the issue with a prisoner simulation where the five Gowichan tried to confuse McKee by presenting a scenario in which Broey massed his forces at the corridor. The makings of a breakout to the rim appeared obvious. Simulator McKee asked the prisoners why they lied. Selang cleared the simulator and sat back. She saw Erich at the observation window, opened a channel to him. Something has to be wrong in the simulation. McKee cannot be led into questioning the purposes of the rim. I assure you, that simulation is remarkable in its accuracy. Remarkable.
Then why?
Perhaps he already knows the answer. Why don't you try him with Jedrick? Here. Erich operated the controls at the observer station. This might help. This is a record of McKee in recent action on Dosari. The simulator presented a view down a covered passage through a building. Artificial light. Darkness at the far end of the passage. McKee, two blocky guards in tow, approached the viewers. Selang recognized the scene. She'd watched this action at Gate 18 from several angles, had seen this passage empty before the battle, acquainting herself with the available views. As she'd watched it then, the passage had filled with human defenders. There was a minor gate behind the viewer, and she knew the viewer itself to be only a bright spot, a fleck of glittering impurity in an otherwise drab brick over the gate's archway. Now, the long passage seemed strange to Selang without its throng of defenders. There were only a few workmen along its length as McKee passed. The workmen repaired service pipes in the ceiling. A cleanup crew washed down patches of blood at the far end of the passage, the high watermark of the Gowichan attack. An officer leaned against a wall near the viewer, a bored expression on his face which did not mislead Selang. He was there to watch McKee. Three soldiers squatted nearby rolling hexibones for coins which lay in piles before each man. Every now and then, one of the gamblers would pass a coin to the watching officer. A repair supervisor stood with his back to the viewer, notebook in hand, writing a list of supplies to complete the job. McKee and his guards were forced to step around these people. As they passed, the officer turned, looked directly into the viewer, smiled.
That officer, Selang said. One of your people?
No. The viewpoint shifted, looking down on the gate itself, McKee in profile. The gatekeeper was a teenager with a scar down his right cheek and a broken nose. McKee showed no signs of recognition, but the youth knew McKee.
You go through on request.
When did she call?
10.
Let us through. The gate was opened. McKee and his guards went through, passed beyond the viewer's focus. The youthful gatekeeper stood up, smashed the viewer. The H-focus went blank. Erich looked down from his observation booth for a moment before speaking.
Who called?
Jedrick?
Selang spoke without thinking.
What does that conversation tell you? Quickly!
That Jedrick anticipated his movements, was observing him all the time.
What else?
That McKee knows this, knows she can anticipate him.
She carries a better simulation of him in her head than we have.
There.
Erich pointed at the H-focus area.
But they left so much unspoken,
Selang said. Erich remained silent. Selang closed her eyes. It was like mind-reading. It confused her. Erich interrupted her musings. What about that officer and the gatekeeper? She shook her head. You're wise to use living observers there. They all seem to know when they're being watched, and how it's done.
Even McKee.
He didn't look at the viewers.
Because he assumed from the first that we'd have him under almost constant observation. He's not concerned about the mechanical intrusions. He has built a simulation McKee of his own who acts on the surface of the real McKee.
That's your assumption?
We arrived at this from observation of Jedrick in her dealings with McKee. She peels away the simulation layers one at a time, coming closer and closer to the actuality at the core. Another observation bothered Selang.
Why'd the gatekeeper shut down that viewer just then?
Obviously because Jedrick told him to do that. Selang shuddered.
Sometimes I think those Dosadi play us like a fine instrument.
But of course. That's why we sent them our McKee.